Before I get started, I've just got a short clip that I'd like to show you. Then they went off to reveal what their fears were. I wonder what fears and anxieties have taken hold of your thoughts this week. Maybe something similar to the families in that clip, or something in the news, a family crisis, work, money, the list could go on forever. If you've spent time feeling fearful or afraid or anxious this week over something, can I ask you, why? In the first line of this psalm, David asks himself a question. He says, "The Lord is my light and salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble?" And this first verse sets the theme for the psalm and the theme for this morning, which is, fear is conquered by the Father's embrace. If I were to sum up what I wanted to get across to you today, that would be it. What would your life be like if you had no fear? What would your marriage be like? Your relationships? What would St. Barnabas look like if we as a body of believers were set free from the fear of trusting, the fear of rejection or abandonment, and the fear of opening our hearts to love and intimacy? Fear disables us, it paralyzes us, and we can all know about the things of God, and yet our fear of trusting and of intimacy can hold us back from receiving the benefits of what Jesus died for in the first place. So many of us Christians, you know, we go around doing the right stuff, yet fear continues to hold us back, and it holds us back from casting ourselves fully into our Father's loving embrace. The day that I was preparing this talk, I was looking after my dad's dog, Ziggy. There he is. he's only a puppy, and he's being trained to not be allowed to go up and down stairs. He's not even allowed to get into the habit of going up on the sofa. So therefore, he's not allowed to get down. He's not learned how to get down from the sofa either. We all know how daunting it can be to take that very first leap when we haven't done it before. Maybe it's that first jump off of the short diving boards in the swimming pool as a child. Maybe the first jump down from a tree that we've climbed far too high. It's scary, isn't it? Well, I happened to notice on that day that whilst looking after Ziggy, that after some time after placing him on the sofa, he looked as if he wanted to get down. But I soon realised he just stayed like that, and he was too scared to jump. So as any loving person would do, I filmed him in his fear, and I thought I'd share it with you this morning.
Come on, Ziggy. Come on. Jump down. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Jump down. Come on. Come on.
And that was it. How did Ziggy react to his fear? He thought about coming to me for help, but the fear overtook him, and instead he walked away from my encouragement and just recoiled into the sofa in his fear. The fear of jumping off that sofa, even with me encouraging him with arms wide open or a hand reaching, was just too much for him, and he refused my embrace. Why wasn't he able to jump? Why couldn't he leap with confidence to me? Firstly, he hasn't had the practice of jumping from a small height. He didn't know what it was like to jump, even though I was right in front of him the whole time. And number two, the relationship he had with me wasn't very strong. It wasn't strong enough for him to trust me. I'd not spent much time with him before. And rather than seeking the comfort and assurance of my hand when I reached to him to jump, He went back to what he knew, his fear. And so this parallels a little bit with us and God, except in our case as children of God, it's a case of practicing to pray and worship in moments of fear, seeking the loving, intimate embrace of our Father in heaven, which casts out all that rubbish. Rather than being slaves to fear, we need to live as sons and daughters of our loving Father. And we'll see more of Ziggy later. How do you deal with your fears and anxieties? Do they disable or paralyze you? Or do you run with confidence to God in those times? Do you know his embrace that casts out all fear? What did David do when facing troubles? How did he react? Well, the background to this psalm, if I've got it right, is that David at the time was in danger and had many enemies. And in this psalm, it is thought that he's either responding either to his flee away from Saul or from his son Absalom. Either way, it was a nerve-wracking and threatening time as David is being or had been hunted down by his enemies. And this is something I'm pretty convinced the average person would be fearful of. And a recent account in the news is the CIA agent Edward Snowden. He's been on the run, or at least he was when I was preparing this, for quite some time from the government due to exposing information. I'd hazard a guess that he is or was probably quite scared and alone when he was being hunted. But not David. David says that even though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I am attacked, I will remain confident. Edward Snowden probably feels like an army was surrounding him, tracking him down. But I wonder if he was remaining confident like David. I wonder if he turned to his father's embrace. Rather than cowering away in fear, David has an unwavering confidence in God. He's faced trials before and God has come through for him. So why would he doubt now? After all, as a youth, we all know he faced a giant with only a few pebbles and a sling. God did the impossible there, so why wouldn't he now? If God is for him, then who should David be afraid of? If God is for us, then who should we be afraid of? And what I like about David in this psalm is that he doesn't even say to God, "Oh God, there's an army surrounding me, hunting me down. I don't know what to do. Please help me." He doesn't even ask for God's help because he's just so secure in his Father's love. He's so confident in God's ability to take care of these issues that he simply says, "When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall." He knows that the righteous God has got him so firmly in his hand that whatever happens, he doesn't have any doubt about the ultimate fate of those evildoers. He has such peace of mind, such assurance in God, such security in being a son of God rather than a slave to fear. David knows that God is the one and only power and he possesses all power. And so the focus is no longer on his own troubled affairs, but with God himself. And with that, David is completely set free from every anxious concern for himself and concentrates his thoughts exclusively on God. His faith gains an inner balance and that confident and stable strength which enables him to make the right choices, to trust in God and worship him rather than fleeing like him, unlike Ziggy. And I'd like to ask you, do you have that confidence in your relationship with God? To know that whatever fears or anxieties crop up, that you'll run into his embrace in faith and assurance. And it's something that's really challenged me recently when I've read into it more, because so often when I face a problem, immediately the problem becomes inflated and far too large for me to bear. And I've given the problem so much time and thought that before I know it, I've almost made an idol out of the problem I've got, and it ends up consuming me and leaving me helplessly recoiled as a slave to fear and anxiety. Instead, I should just turn to God immediately, like David, and say, "Hey, this is the problem that surrounds me. I know pretty soon it's going to be destroyed, but in the meantime, I'm going to chill and trust that you, God, are taking care of it." A recent case of where I ended up bowing to fear rather than God is in my area of work. I'm currently a primary school teacher, but in September I'm starting a new job as a special needs coordinator with a few extra pieces attached. And naturally, the new school wanted me to go and visit to bring me up to speed and to talk with the member of staff that I'll be replacing. And within a few minutes of speaking to this woman, I began thinking to myself, what have I got myself into? This job is just far too big. They've made a mistake. Someone tell them they got the wrong person. And then after the first hour or so, the fear and anxiety really kicked in, and I couldn't really even hear what she was saying. All I could think about was, I'm going to fail. I've got no idea what I'm doing. I'm going to be fired within a week. And I just like Ziggy, I wanted to jump into the new job with confidence, but the fear was just too much, and I just recoiled into myself and just thought about these fears rather than praying and worshipping God. And I made the same mistake as Ziggy. I didn't trust that God would take care of me. Not that I'm God to him, but... I went wrong the moment I decided that the problem I was facing was too big for God to handle. And so my perspective was all messed up, and I forgot who my God was. David didn't take that approach. Rather than all the anxious, fearful questions, rather than being pinned down with fear, instead of holding his head in his hands with despair, he turned to God and reflected on worshipping him. He says, "The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple." He was saying no to fear and instead turning to his Father's embrace. He just wanted to have intimate worship with God. He didn't care about anything else. He didn't care about the army that was around the corner. Intimacy in his relationship and through worship with his loving Father was all he needed. And as a side note, I know that for men in particular, this intimacy and worship topic is an issue, and it can be for women as well, but I think men have probably taken the majority on this one. And I know some people even go so far as to reject intimate worship songs because they think of them as "Jesus is my boyfriend" songs. And you know, I can't stand that slogan. In fact, I would even go as far as to say that that slogan is the work of the enemy, because what more would he fear than sons and daughters of God becoming intimate in worship and really, really knowing God in worship? After all, look at what happened to David. He slayed a giant as a child. He was a great military leader, arguably the greatest king of Israel, an ancestor of Jesus Christ. God himself described him as a man after his own heart. Yes, he had his faults, but this was a man who knew how to worship God intimately. So who are we to say that we can't worship God in intimate worship songs? Who is telling you that? Because it is an absolute lie. If this amazing man in the Bible can do it, who was a great military leader, tough guy, if he can humble himself and be intimate with God in this way, then why are you holding back? Is that your fear this morning? And I ask you that question because I struggled with the very same thing a few years ago. When I first started coming back to church, I never took part in worship. I didn't stand up. I didn't mouth the words. In fact, I spent the whole time thinking the congregation were foolish for doing so. And one day, I don't know why I chose to, I stood up during worship. The week after, I began to mouth the words. A little while after that, I began to sing the words. You see what's happening. And, you know, we couldn't have been more than halfway through the song where I'd started singing. And that was it. I just erupted into tears and was just bawling my eyes out all the way through the set. And I did so pretty much every worship set weeks after that, and still now it's just the way that God works through me. And finally, what had happened was I just let go of my fear. Whatever the fear was, I can't really put it into words, it was just like a block, but you just let go of it and worship and accepted God's embrace through that time of worship. And because of that, the Holy Spirit began moving, and it was as easy as that. And if you're a man or woman here today who's been a Christian for a while and not experienced the Holy Spirit, I'd ask you, what is your worship like? If you're holding back due to fear, push through and worship your God. Sing it out. It's the best thing I ever did, and still now God moves me through times of worship more than anything else. He, you know, if he wants to rebuke me, it'll be through worship. If he wants to show me more of his love, it'll be times of worship. Every time. Anyway, back to David. Amidst all the dangers and enemies David is up against, the one thing he wanted to do, the one desire and one aspiration which filled his heart above all else, was that he had continual communion with God. If he had that, he had everything. And if we were to ask ourselves, what is the one thing we would seek when we face problems, fears or anxieties, can we honestly say that we always turn to God immediately with the same confident reassurance that David did? Do we wake up each morning feeling like a son or daughter, secure and confident in our Father's love, like David did? Or do we get up every day feeling like a slave, constantly struggling with fears of failure or rejection, unable to trust? Can we as individuals and as a whole church wholeheartedly say that the one thing that we ask of the Lord, the one thing that we seek, is to be in this constant communion with him through intimate worship? And I'm sure at times on our very best day, when everything in life is going well, we can, and that we really go for it. But can we say that when life gets hard and we're up against it? And I think that's one of the real tests of a worshiping heart. And to be able to say, no matter what, the one thing I desire is this constant communion with God, even if my world is crumbling around me. And I often struggle with it when my mind wanders, because I think, what if something happened to my wife Haley, if I were to lose her? Would I worship God with heart abandoned and hands waving in the air? Or would I recoil in loneliness and fear? And would I reject the Father's embrace, which is trying to say, trust me, you've got nothing to fear, it's all going to be okay. Clearly, David has got to a place now in his faith where the only fear he has is a fear of God, shown when he says to him, do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You've always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon, O God of my salvation. He's not saying that to God for fear of what his enemies might do, but for the fear of what life would be like without God's presence. His fear is a healthy one, as it's a fear of the Lord. The last thing David wants is for the God of the maker of heaven and earth to turn his back on him. He knows, or at least he has a very good idea, of how powerful our God is. And so he can't think of anything worse than having him turn against him in anger. We've seen what God does when he gets angry, especially in the Old Testament, so it's no wonder why David pleads with him not to leave. That being said, I think David was probably more fearful of living a life without his Father's embrace. Living life without the intimacy of God's presence truly scares him, and he had a right to be scared. But at the same time, that plea to God was a very clear indicator of just how much David trusts God. He truly knows what it means when we say, if God is for us, who can be against us? He truly believes that one man with God on his side is more powerful than any army. Therefore, he's confident, he's safe, he's secured and affirmed in his Father's arms as a child of God should be. And the fact that David has such confidence in God and lack of fear of the world is even more astonishing when we think that he only knows part of the story. He doesn't even know Jesus yet. He doesn't know about all the amazing things in the New Testament. He's yet to see God's most amazing act of Jesus sacrificing himself on the cross for our sins and rising again to life so that we could spend eternity in God's presence and live a life without fear. Which puts me and my fears even more to shame, because I know all that amazing stuff in the New Testament. I know what Jesus has done to me. I've got 24/7 access to the Holy Spirit, and yet I still make the mistake of fearing things in life more than I fear God. I must be a complete idiot. David didn't know Jesus and he was fully confident in God. How much more confident should we be now that we've seen Jesus and we can call him friend? Not only have we seen what he's done, but he can be called friend. And if you're not a Christian here today and you haven't entered a relationship with Jesus where you can call him friend, but you'd like to, please don't hesitate to talk to me or someone else here at the end of the service. And at the end of my talk, there'll be a chance for you to respond to that as well. And as I come towards a close, I want to share with you what happened later on in the day at my job induction. As I said earlier, the more the current special needs coordinator spoke, the more fear I felt overwhelmed by. And then she asked me a question, which I've only really had in a church context before. She said, "Do you know Michael Pavlou?" And I thought, where is she going with this? I thought, should I be more scared? And I sheepishly took a breath and replied, "Yes, yes, he's my dad." To which she said, "I thought so." So I said, "Why do you ask?" And she went on to explain how years ago, her and her husband went to the same church as my dad and knew him well. In fact, they even lived opposite him, and if that wasn't enough, had seen me growing up as a child on numerous occasions. And here I am now, probably about 15 years later or so, about to take over her job. What were the chances of all that happening? When she told me, it didn't really sink in. But when I got home, I walked over to my bed and I sat down and I just burst into floods of tears. Why? Because I'd spent my whole day, like an idiot, being fearful and anxious about what I was getting into. And all of a sudden, God bursts forth and said no to that fear. He knew and knows exactly what I was getting into. He knew all those years back that the lady who lived opposite me and Dad, who saw me growing up, he knew I would meet her again as an adult. He's known my future all along. He's gone before me every step of the way, placing the right people in my path. And just as I just felt completely overwhelmed by his thought for me. Who is this God that cares that much to do this? Who is this God that plans everything so meticulously? And I began to realize whilst crying that I just felt so reassured by his care that I didn't need to fear what this new job entailed. I don't need to spend my days worrying or being anxious about what's going to happen in the future to me or loved ones. He's got it all sorted. What a fool I am, though, to fear these trivial things when I do, above fearing a God who forgives sin. Who do I think I am to place that fear and anxiety above the power, love, and grace of God? Who am I to try and undermine God's control over my life? Don't let your fears paralyze you. Don't let your fear make you forget who your God is. Jesus died and rose again so that we could live without all that fear and that rubbish. He died to set us free from those chains of anxiety, not so that we could walk around dragging it along with us, trudging through treacle everywhere we go. Earlier, I showed you a clip of Ziggy giving in to fear, and I'd like to show you now a second clip of him later on in that day.
Good boy. Come on. Jump down. Come on. Come on. That's it. Hey.
Good boy. Good boy.
He did it. As I finish, I'd just like to ask the band to come back up, if that's all right. And we all know that David had his faults. He made a ton of mistakes along the way. But he continued to have intimate worship with God. He continued to patiently wait on God in confidence because he knew that God had it under control. Even though everything was against him, he could stand firm and be at peace because he knew his loving Father's embrace. And I'd like to offer the opportunity for prayer now. So if you're able, if you could stand with me. And if any of these things, you know, click when I say them, I would just ask you to start making your way to the front just so that we can pray for you. And there'll probably be other prayers as well. But some of the things that I'd like to offer as well is if you have any fears or anxieties that you just can't shake off, things that keep cropping up, I'd just like to ask you to come to the front for prayer this morning, just so that God can deal with all that rubbish. If you've not known the Father's embrace in an intimate way, I'd like you to also come forward for prayer for that, if you want to. And also, if you've not yet accepted Jesus into your life, you're not able to call him friend, but you'd like to, I'd also like to invite you up to the front for prayer on that as well.